Jesus Christ said you have to repent and believe the gospel. But how do you do that? I mean, those people, you know, John said to the Pharisees, you know, what are you doing out here? You got to bring forth some proof of your repentance before you can be baptized. So if we turn to Romans 2:3, we read this. And think you this, O man, that judge them which do such things, and you do the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God? What did we read there where we needed the Living Bible to get us straightened out? You know, those that want to join you, let them join you. And don't be judging them because they have maybe some differences about what they think is right or wrong. We were over at Logan's. Oh yeah, I guess we were at Logan's Roadhouse Grill yesterday. I ate my Jimmy salad. And one of the men here, trying to pick on you, but I said, you know, he was sitting up back in the other corner. And I said, why don't you all come over and join us? We got a room reserved over here, you know. And he said, well, I got a beer. I don't care. Bring it with you. You know? There you go. What do you think? You're going to offend me with your beer? You know? Yeah. I don't judge people according to what we think is right or wrong, you know. I was tempted to have one with you. Actually, once in a great while I have had a beer. Not many, but a couple times in the last year. But I'm not supposed to have alcohol because it's very acid. So, you know, or despise you the riches of his goodness, verse 4, and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Oh, so God calls us, and God is going to make us righteous and give us redemption and all that. And it's God, through his goodness, he brings us to repentance. Well, now, if you've been unable to repent of your sins and keep them out of your life, okay, maybe God had you come here today to learn a lesson. God will take care of it. You say, well, I wish he'd hurry up. God has his own timing. I just want you to have the confidence that it will happen. Why? Because you're sitting here. You've proved to me that you love God. You don't travel thousands of miles and spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars to come here because you don't love God and you don't want to know God's truth. Of course you do. So what do you think? He's going to turn his back on you? Of course not. So you have to accept these things, accept these truths, and accept these promises and so on. Because if you don't, you're kind of despising the Word of God, you know? You've got to believe the Scriptures and live by them. So we were told many times in many ways, you know, not to speak evil of a brother. Don't speak evil one of another brother. And maybe you condemn yourself because, you know, you have a problem with gossiping or so on, which you shouldn't have. But let me have you understand something here. It doesn't. I mean, I get accused all the time of, Ray, you name names. You know, you not only criticize people, you name names. You know, I said, well, so did John, so did Jesus, so did Paul. Then they say, well, you're not Jesus. No, but we're supposed to be. Supposed to be. But, you know, these people that do these horrible things, I don't consider them my brother. You know, I've had some people, just like Paul said, you know, Alexander the coppersmith has done me a lot of dirt, done me a lot of harm. Okay? Well, should he have said that? You know? Oh, you can't talk about a brother like that. Tell people how dirty they did you. How can he get away with that? Well, first of all, I don't think he considered Alexander the coppersmith to be his brother. Who are your spiritual brothers? Here's the answer. In Matthew 12:47 says, one of them said unto him, behold, your mother and your brethren stand without, desiring to speak to you. But Jesus answered and said unto them, unto him rather, that told him, who is my mother and who is my brethren? He stretched forth his hands toward his disciples and said, behold, your mother and your brethren. And then Jesus said, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. When people preach heresy and blaspheme the name of God, I don't consider my spiritual brother. And secondly, there's a giant difference between acknowledging somebody's sins and shortcomings and condemning him to some evil fate because of it. You see? I have never condemned people that teach heresy that, you know, I hope they burn in hell or something like they tell me. But it's not wrong. You know. But I get a lot of people, you know, how can you do that? You name names, you know, that they're teaching false. You know, God will judge them. I said, didn't you read the top of my home site? So, you know, why we expose those who contradict. That's a commandment from God to Paul, and he's passing on to us that you expose those who contradict the Word of God. So I have no problem doing that. I mean, Jesus said to the Pharisees and stuff, you blind leaders are blind. You hypocrites, you false prophets, you whiten septic tanks, you generation of snakes. Ooh, I thought he taught us not to talk like that. Needed to be said. We needed to understand that that's what they were. You need to understand that nothing has changed. He would say the same thing of today's religious leaders. Yes, he would. The only difference is they've gotten worse. I mean, as bad as the Pharisees and the scribes and all those were, as bad as they were, you won't read any place where they consigned people to an eternal hell of terrorism and torture in 12,000 degrees fire. Have you ever read where they did anything like that? You think today's clergy are saints compared to those horrible Pharisees? Well, Pharisees didn't come close to the blasphemy of today's theologians. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Ah, how about that? That's the last verse there. Or just about the last verse anyway. So he called them snakes and hypocrites and blind guides and whitened sepulchres and a generation of snakes. But notice it. So did he say, to hell with all of you, rot in hell? No. After he said all those things, he said, I say unto you, in addition to all those bad things that you are, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is saying, one day you'll say that. And then we'll communicate. We'll be friends. We'll be brothers. And they will be blessed. Blessed are they that come in the name of the Lord. They'll be coming in the name of the Lord. So you are called and God imparts wisdom and knowledge to you and he leads you to repentance and all that. And then you come and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, you have to have faith. He says, believe the gospel. That's faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of you. It's the gift of God. Okay? Now, how do we come to Christ? No man can come to me, Jesus said, except the Father which has sent me draw him. Greek, drag him. And I will raise him up at the last day. So, God does all these things. Don't feel frustrated if you've not conquered all your sins. You can feel bad, and you should feel bad. You can feel guilty, and you should feel guilty. But don't become discouraged, because this too shall pass. In God's time, God is calling you. God is choosing you. And you know in your heart, if you want to obey God and live right and do right and walk in the Spirit, you know that. Well, then it's going to happen. There's no condemnation on God's part. Okay? So have that assurance. Ephesians 2:10. For we, God's chosen elect, for we are His, God's, workmanship. Or Concordant translates it, achievement. We're God's achievement. We don't achieve it by ourselves. We're God's workmanship. We're God's achievement, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So, God intends for us to do good works. If you're not doing very many good works, God's not through with you yet. He's working with you. Workmanship speaks of a process. Achievement speaks more of a reaching the goal. Okay? You will reach the goal. So, when you read all of this stuff, it appears like all is of God. Well, duh. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I guess we can all say amen to that. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation, that is a covering, a shelter, through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Now, he says you have to believe in Jesus.
That's faith.
Where are you going to get that faith? It's a gift of God too. Just rely on God. Accept Him at His word. Pray. Say, God, Ray showed me all this stuff. Is that true? You're going to do all that in my life? Well, if He's calling you, of course He will. And why are you fretting so? Why are you really worried that maybe you won't be in the kingdom of God? You will be, unless you're sitting here faking it. Unless you really don't love God and you really prefer the worldly life of lust and sin and all of that. But if you're here because you love God and you love decency and goodness and purity and virtue and all the things that Paul says, think on these things. If that's how you are and that's how you want to be, then that's how it's going to happen. In God's time, it will happen in your life. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without deeds of the law. Is he God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing that it is one God which should justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law of God through faith? No, God forbid. We establish the law. But now we don't go about trying to justify, our own righteousness by works of the law. We know that unless God's doing it in us and through us, it's of little or no value. So these are things to pray about, think about, meditate about, and so on. And don't be discouraged. Is God calling you? Of course He's calling you. Always remember, one person was going to really get his family turned off at him to come here. Because he was supposed to attend a family member's wedding. And he said, I'm going to go listen to Ray teach. That didn't settle too well with the family. Now it turns out he had an accident and he's got to be operated on day after tomorrow. So that's Patrick O'Daniel from Arizona. So pray for him. Okay. So, he was willing to do what it took to get here, even if it meant losing respect with his own family members. Okay. And if God's calling you, you're going to have such trials. Maybe some of you could tell me a story of it was rather difficult for you to come because some didn't want you to come. You didn't have the money to come. Where's Moses? Is he here? Moses is back there. We're having a lot of fun with Moses. Moses got on a bus 3 days ago. Been driving day and night and day and night coming up here from central Mexico, for crying out loud. With only a few dollars in his pocket. Why did he do that? He wants to know about God. God will take care of him. Yeah, it's all of God. The Concordant Version translates Romans 11:36, seeing that out of Him and through Him and for Him is all. To Him be the glory for the eons. Amen, it says. Do any of you have any questions? You don't have to tell me what your sins are, but do you have any questions about sin? Are you frustrated? You can't overcome certain things? You're just not happy. You're not content. Do any of you have it? Yeah.
I believe that God uses
what?
Your weaknesses. You believe that God uses that to keep you humble?
Well, absolutely, it'll humble you. I mean, when you try to do things 10, 20, 50 times for 5 or 10 years and can't do it, that's humbling. Sure, humbling. In Ecclesiastes, it says God gives the children of humanity an experience of evil to humble him thereby. This is humbling. The very fact that we grow old, get diseased, and die, that's humbling. You don't think about that when you're 20, 30 years old. I was forced to think about it. And boy, it'll set you back on your heels. I mean, I did a routine blood thing back in July a year ago. And Dr. Sherman called me and... No, actually, his nurse called me and said, Dr. Sherman has set up an appointment with you over at the Providence Cancer Center. He said, your PSA is 108. Oof. So, I'm not too happy about that. So, went over there and... they checked my PSA again, just to be sure. 108. Then they gave me some x-rays and they shot me up with this radioactive stuff. And then you come back an hour or so later and then they do imaging, you know, do a bone scan. That's tedious. You got to lay there perfectly motionless. And it does your top. It takes 1 hour. And it does your bottom, 1 hour. Then you gotta wait, come back a couple days later, whatever, for the results. And, you know, I know the doctor, they learned certain bedside manners, I guess, you know. He said, well, so, well, we got some spotting going on here. And got some here in the shoulders and the neck and the knees and the legs. The hip, spine, the jaw, and the skull. And a little spotting going on. In other words, you are all eaten up with cancer. And he said, but... He said, there's nothing we can do to improve your condition. Nothing. He said, but we can probably get you, you know, 6 months to a year. Put you in Casodex for a few weeks, and we start giving you Luprin shots. And we'll starve out the testosterone, and that should buy you another 6 months. Woo! I mean, just picture yourself sitting there and hearing that. Wow. So I'm home and thinking about that. My wife said, well, you know, we just do what he says, and you know, and you know, you'll have a while yet. And so, wow. And I know, you know, at the end of the day, I told my wife, I said, I'm not taking this too well. Yeah, I felt sorry for my wife. She said, I know. So what can I do? I said, I don't know. I don't know. And then the second and the third day, I was sitting on the sofa, I think about the third day, and I said, honey, I am not doing very well with this. She said, I know. And then And Dr. Coleman, he wrote me a prescription for the Casodex, and she says, well, why don't we go get that prescription filled, and at least we'll be doing something positive, you know. And I said, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that. Well, you don't have much choice. I said, well, maybe I do. So, let's see, that was a Friday. So I called Jimmy. You know, I met Jimmy yesterday, and I told him my situation. And I said, is there anything you think we can do? And he said, yeah. I said, I'll work with you. Okay. So we went over there, and it was Friday, though. But he closes Friday. Not open Saturday, although I think he's open till noon. The gym is open. So I had to wait till like Monday or Tuesday to make an appointment with him. But I had determined, just after talking to him, that I was not going to take the Casodex or the Lupron shots. I was going to do something. I knew, you know, that couldn't help me. It would just maybe buy me a few extra months, because if you can completely starve the testosterone, I mean, the cancer from getting testosterone, it kind of shuts it down for a while. But you can only do that for a few months, and then it doesn't work. So I was 3 days of hell. And you talk about being humbled. I mean, it's one thing to know you're going to die. We all know that, right? It's another thing to know you're going to die in a couple of months. You know? I mean, that's when it really sets you back, you know? But when I made that decision, I was going to ask God to heal me, and I would repent and do what I knew would be best, you know, just flood my body with the most potent, high-quality nutrition possible. And I had a calm come over me. Kind of a serenity. And that's been over a year now. That's been a year and 3 months ago. And I can honestly tell you, I have never had thoughts of, oh, woe is me, and man, this whole thing is just killing me. This is, you know, I can't go there. I can't, no. Nope. I haven't felt good, you know. Actually, I felt better last November, December, January, and stuff than I have the last 6-8 months. I have not had it. I have not been spiritually depressed since that third day when I decided I'm not going to take all those drugs and stuff. So, I mean, God knocked the props out from under me, but in 3 days he propped me up again. See? And I've been propped up for over a year now. And of course this thing was going to be expensive. It's now run into tens of thousands of dollars, my treatment. Tens of thousands of dollars. I take over 100 supplements a day. You come over to my house, I have this one tray that sits on top, and we got boxes of stuff underneath. My wife fills up these, you know, daily things, you know. I take, nine times a day. I take 4 pills, 6 pills, 7 pills, 5 pills, you know, whatever, 50, 52 or something pills. But then I have what I call my nasty drink, and I have this one box of stuff on the counter, and there are 12 things going to my nasty drink, you know. So Jimmy is not expensive. I pay like $35 for a consultation. Sometimes we go an hour. You know, when you got 2-3 doctor's degrees and you counsel somebody for an hour or more for $35, it doesn't get any cheaper than that. So Jimmy is not greedy. So But I do so much, I take so much and do so many things that it's been fairly expensive, you know. And Larry back there is gracious enough. He drove down and gave me, he has a ozone generator and an oxygen generator. And I sit in a tent 1 hour every day, flood my body with ozone. And I was buying high pH water, 9.5 pH water, $9 a gallon, you know, for a couple of weeks. That got pretty expensive. $9 a day for water. And then people volunteered to help. And Dennis said, let me put your address on the forum. And people just, you know, there's no reason for me to, or Harry or somebody, to take a check and pass. Just let him send it right to you. And boy, I'm telling you, did you come to my rescue? I'm so thankful for it. I mean, it was probably 10 or 12 days. I got a $2,500 water ionizer to get the high pH water, you know. And like, I don't know, 8 or 10 days or whatever. You all send me enough to pay for that. And I only had to pay $2,000 for it because it just came out, and for a week or so they're going to promote it at $2,000 rather than $2,500. So God has given me practical experience with the stuff I'm talking about, you know. So don't talk to me about I got some ego to protect it. Not protecting no ego. Yeah.
Well, you know what I talk to you about. You know, because when I find out my situation like you, I call you. God does. I believe He does provide a solution.
He sure does. Timothy has in his throat cancer, your vocal cords and stuff.
You see, they went in my throat back in April. They supposed to have gotten cancer out. And I went back in surgery again in August. And got cancer once again.
But Timothy doesn't have a bad attitude. He doesn't hate God for it, you know. I fully realize that if I'm going to be a teacher, I got to put my money where my mouth is, you know. And so from that perspective, you know, I can thank God that I have cancer. You know, something good will come out of it. Even if I die, something good will come out of it. Okay? And so all of those that have been supporting me, I mean, you just don't know how thankful and appreciative I am, you know. My wife, because I'm just the mail, and she says, you got another letter here from, I think this is somebody who's writing you about your cancer, and there's a check, you know. And I know some people have very little money. They send, you know, $20. And a few send every month $25. There's another one that sends $50 periodically. And there's others who have sent hundreds and hundreds of dollars. But I've been able to pay all my expenses. Every penny. I got behind one time there. Didn't too much money come in. We put it all on a credit card so I know how much I'm spending, you know. So we always put it on this one card. So I know sometime last winter it got up to $9,000. And so some money was coming in, and I just waited and waited, it's gone up to about 10,000. Well, by the time I'm waiting a while, it went up from 7,000 or 8,000 up to 10,000. And then I added up all these texts that came in a relatively short period of time. I was really getting behind. And I sent a check off for $9,000. A few people and some others around the country gave me. Boy, that's humbling. That's humbling. But I'm thankful for it because, I'm keeping my head above water financially because, you're coming to my rescue. I just want everybody to know how thankful I am for that. Okay, is it time to quit, Denny? Yes.
Uh-huh. And one of the things that really strikes me is for myself coming to this conference and listening to your audio from the Bible Forum, a lot of people come to me because what I'm hearing is how sovereign God is and how much He is in control, just like when you say. And with having cancer, with the sins that we face, the troubles that hit us, and everything, it's sovereign, and He is God. He is in control, And it just causes me to have so much peace in my heart. And sometimes it feels like a whirlwind that's around.
Sure.
But I have this peace that comes forth when I hear your message. It settles down in me and just puts everything, it just calms everything. It puts such a peace in my mind.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Denny and I, we talk almost daily. And we talk about the news and all the stupid things that the government is doing from time to time and so. And then we always, me or him, usually him, he said, well, it's just all part of the plan. Everything's right on schedule. We don't need to get just all upset and beside ourselves. All part of the plan. We're talking about, this health care thing, this is going to be, it's so costly, it's obscene. Could bring the country down. And there's got to be a lot of ways that make it cheaper, Well, it's just part of the plan, God uses the foolishness of men to govern, And we're seeing the results. It's part of the plan. And if we didn't have that confidence, we could get a, we'd be out marching in Washington or carrying signs or going to these tea parties or something and getting all set up beside ourselves too, I guess. But I don't fret it, how can you be against what God is for? It's always been interesting to me ever since I've known about the sovereignty of God. You hear about praying for world peace. We need to have a day of prayer and pray for world peace. I said, in other words, pray that God is a liar. Is that what you're saying? Pray that all His prophecies are nothing but a crock of lies. He said, this is the way it's going to be. And we should pray that, no, Lord, I don't want Your will to be done. Or Your intention. But it's God's intention that not only those that He's calling are humbled, He's going to humble the whole world. I didn't give you that scripture. I put it in the announcement, where it says all nations will come and worship before me, Well, why will they do that? How will they do that? They will repent and be obedient. They will be obedient. Like Isaiah said, when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Or you say will. They will. and we'll have a part in it. So, you know, as bad as this disease is, I have and so on, I consider myself lucky in many ways. You know, I've got a good wife, I get good friends, I've got a job to do, and I like doing what I do. And I've got all of you, and people who, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people send me emails, you know, we're praying for you every day, Ray. So it's one thing, you know, like I have a disease, you know, and according to the experts, you know, I'm going to die. I've got this black man, he's a nurse with hospice, and he just doesn't know what to make of me, you know. He keeps, well, tell me what has changed. Are you feeling any worse here? Are you losing your balance sometimes? Are you having trouble? No, it's about the same. And be prepared because, you know, it's going to get worse. You know, so I was going to go someplace with that. Oh, so I mean, I'm told that, you know, I'm finished. My prognosis is my survival is zero. So that's bad enough. But you know what's worse? This person who lives down in Mexico that my wife talked to the other day, she just wrote and asked if Ray's wife would call her. My wife called her. They talked for a long time. And they don't have the money to do what I'm doing. And her husband is in bad pain. He's in bed. And he takes morphine for the pain. I take some morphine too. I was an oxycodone. I got off of that. Whoa. Timothy, tell them how bad that is. Whoa. That is, I mean, I wouldn't wish that on Satan. That was not quite as bad as that reaction I had, though, when I took this one experimental thing. And then later we found out you cannot take that with painkillers. I agree. I mean, I thought I would go insane that night. It was just, I just wanted to scream. It was so bad. It was so horrible. But then the oxycodone, I got off the oxycodone, and that wasn't as bad, but it lasted for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. But he takes morphine, 5 milligrams. That's like taking half an aspirin, for crying out loud. It won't do anything. I mean, the difference between taking 5 milligrams of morphine and taking nothing is about the same. And certainly, I mean, you don't have the money to travel to America or to, you know, use the facilities of a Jimmy Steger. And it's hard to encourage people like that. And yet, there's a lot of people like that, and you can't very well ask people to take care of all these hundreds and thousands of sick people. Jesus said, "The poor you always have with you." But I think, you know, I'm really pretty lucky. I mean, this man is down there in a bed dying all by himself. Well, I mean, he has his wife, but he doesn't have all you wonderful people praying. Well, he does now because, you know, I'm telling you to pray for him. And I think they've already said that on the forum. But, my gosh, I mean, I wake up every day and I say, you know, there are people praying for me in virtually every state in the Union. They're praying for me in New Zealand and Australia and in Europe and Sweden and somebody wrote me yesterday from Amsterdam and another one from South Africa. These people are praying for me. And then, you know, some of you are supplying my financial need. I say, man, how great is that? How many people have that going for them? I mean, people all over the world praying for them, writing them letters of encouragement, and so on. I'm in a lot better shape than so many people who are dying of these diseases. You know? I can get as much morphine as I want. My doctor gave me a prescription for 60 milligrams. And I said, no, don't give me any more of that. Give me 30. I might get fine on 30 milligrams. Are you sure? Yeah, 30 is fine. That's what I mean. So, you say, boy, I don't know how you can be positive and so thankful. You're dying from cancer and in pain all day. And don't sleep well at night. Because it's just such a joy to know that such many, many, many wonderful people love me and are willing to sacrifice for me and write me letters of encouragement. I mean, hey, I'm a lucky dude. I'm blessed. Okay. Well, I'm sure my wife has us something good to eat. She's a pretty good cook. Any other questions before we part? Yes. No? Jeremiah.
Jeremiah, that's
right.
And he says that he's going to forget our sins. So people will remember our sins no more.
Exactly.
And the other day I was preaching at the Baptist Union, the reason that we sometimes feel bad is because we put our focus on our sins instead of His mercy and
right.
love. And when we completely say, okay, so if God is not going to remember my sins, why in the world am I remembering them?
Exactly. Exactly.
He wants us to put our mind and heart on Him, on His mercy and His love. And when we do that, truly believe that scripture and act it out.
Right. All those good scriptures. See, Paul said, no, it was Paul who said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, you know? John said that. So we read there in Philippians where Paul says, whatsoever things are good, if there be any virtue, whatsoever things are pure, and so on, think on these things. He didn't say, meditate on all your rotten sins. Think about your sins. Yeah, you think about those sins. He didn't say that, did he? Said, you look at the good day, you think on those. Why? Because you become what you think. And if you think about, you know, Denny and I, we debate who's going to get different ones to judge. And he said, I want to judge. I said, no, I want him. I want him. But if you think about, you know, I want to change this world. I would love to be a part of that. And I don't want some job I can't handle. I want to do what God thinks I can handle. Okay? But what I was trying to teach you here, all you have to do is think on these things. Desire them. Because sometimes we don't have money, time, talent, education. We don't have those things. How are we going to qualify? Because how you think and the fact that God's law is spiritual, you can do it. You can do it. Listen, here's another one. He's going to reward everyone according to their works, right? Don't have the money, don't have no talent, don't have the wherewithal to visit people, to help people, don't have any education. How big is your reward going to be? It can be huge. Shall I tell you why? These things are spiritual. If you look on a woman, or you don't even look, you just meditate in your mind, the lust after a woman, are you guilty of adultery? Yes. If you just think about doing good to your fellow man and humanity, and straightening out the evil and the wretchedness of this world. If you just think about doing that, are you guilty of thinking those good things? Yes. Will you receive a big reward for that? Yes. You will be rewarded for not just what you would like to do if you had the youth, the strength, the money, the energy, the education, the talents, the wherewithal. You will be rewarded because you would like to do those things. You would want to do them. As you think in your heart, so are you. And that's how God equates it. Huh? Absolutely. All right. I'm going to ask God to bless our departure here. And we go over to my house and have some food. Father, we thank you so much for this gathering and all these wonderful people who want to obey you and they want to live right and they want to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." We pray that no one in this room will be frustrated in their calling. That you will see them through every trial, every temptation, every tribulation. And that we'll all be able to go through these things with a heads up attitude, knowing that we're not doing it by our strength. And yet all the strength that is needed is there from you to supply all these needs. We thank you for that. We ask now that we take all of us home, wherever that is, safely. Let us carry with us the things that we've learned, the feelings, the friendship, the camaraderie. Let us be building a family of faithful, loving people. So we thank you now for the chance to go home and have some good food at our house. Bless my wife for all the good things she tries to do. We just ask that you be with us 24 hours a day in your spirit. And we thank you for it all in Christ's name. Amen.